The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this program are solely those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of this radio station, its management, or affiliates. Listener discretion is advised.
When we walk to the end, here is no rap, R&B, and everything we know. From hip-hop, peace to soulful flow. We dive into the culture, how we grow. Relationship news and headlines fresh. Talking music genres, feeling every mess. It's more than the sounds, it's life is goals. Right here on Antilla, the story unfolds.
Antilla's on, take the seat, let's explore. Bring the music, culture, and a whole lot more.
Yeah, 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 yeah. 1-2-1-2, caught me off guard. This is the Aunt Taylor Show. I am Aunt Taylor. At least that's me most of the time, you know what I'm saying? I just made it through tax season. I'm feeling pretty good. Sitting in the house on the cold Adrian. Sitting here drinking a little pink lemonade, you know what I'm saying? And it is pink, you know what I'm saying? Got a little raspberry twist or something too. I don't know what it is. It's one of the little packets. Thank you for being here with us today. You know how we do this. Every time we in your city, you know what I mean? And this time I brought my ride or die with me. Nicole's in the house. Let's give this girl a round of applause. How is you, Nicole? What's happening with you?
Hi, everybody. I'm okay. A little tired, but I'm hanging. How's everybody doing?
Wake your butt up.
It's great to be back on the show.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to have you. We have Nicole in the house. We're going to have some other guests coming through. We're going to do some interviews. Nicole going to hang around the whole show. We got a special, special show for you today.
Yes, sir.
That's it.
I ain't going nowhere.
She ain't going nowhere. But you know how I know she's not going nowhere? Because in the house with us, is we have...
It's me, the kidnapper. And I'm going to make all her travel expenses is taken care of by me. In her luxury accommodation, is taken care of by me.
Yeah, so it. You know how we do it.
I really can't leave. The kidnapper's in the house.
No, that's right.
No.
He said he got your back. He got you covered. He got your transportation. Oh. He got your room and board.
All of it.
So I'm like...
All right, make sure you tell him I also need my leash to have diamonds on it. Since I'm stuck, I need a leash with diamonds, all right? And we'll work. It'll be able to work it out.
You ain't getting no diamonds. Okay.
But, yeah.
Cuban zirconians?
Big ups to the kidnapper. Hey, so in a little bit I'm gonna have a entertainer, Rachel Wong, in the house. It's going to be a great show, you know what I mean? We're going to do what we do like always. We're going to play some good music. We're going to talk a little bit of shiznit. We're going to do what we do here. And hang on a second. She's having some technical difficulties over there. You're right. The door opens outward, not inward. You what? So don't close our way, please. It'll be all right. Thank you. Thank you. As you exit, looks so much better leaving. Anyway, the whole thing about this, I know, Tony, but I'm so ignorant. I do this on the show, but you know, when I get off here, I'm be like, hey, baby, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I get my little Snoop Dogg voice. Hey, mama. I was just joking with you. I was just kidding. Anyway, I ain't going to have that half on the rent this month, so how are we going to handle this?
You know you're lying. You know you're lying. And Snoop Dogg do not sound like that.
He do? You never heard Snoop Dogg say that?
No.
Man, I will find it.
Like
on his first album, he said it. He like, he like, he just love me.
Chill. Like, he got that chill, like, voice, yeah.
But don't you remember? You just love me from my doggy style. That's the voice I'm using. So, you know how it is. You know how brothers do, man. We flip a script real quick, man. Tough on the gram. But when we get at home, man, we like, all right. Anyways. Nicole, what song you want to hear? We're going to play some music, and then we're going to get to the show.
I want to hear Flexing My Aura.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Aunt Taylor, Flexion Aura coming right up. After that, we're going to be right back with some more of this ignorance and shenanigans.
Flex on my arm, grip on a glide, gold on my neck with a queen by my side. Dreams too thick, can't kill my vibe. I'm just living my life, living my flex in my aura. City don't glow, wave so clean when I walk in slow. Haters gon' talk, they don't know. I'm just living my life, living my life.
I said our sheets go teeth, still I stay humble. Came up from the rubble, now the whole bag double. VVS vision, see the hate from afar. I don't chase dreams, dreams know who we are.
Purple haze drifting, mind on a mission. Talking about the wave, I'm the whole definition. Placed in designer, mind in the clouds. Talk smooth, but my presence too loud. Flex in my arm, drip when I glide. Gold on my neck with a queen by my side. Dreams too big, can't kill my vibe. I'm just living my life, living my life.
Losses, bounce back, that's growth. Now my aura too clean, drip soap. Meditating on a rooftop view. Whole world mine, but I gotta prove. Feeling like I'm timeless, crowned with the Midas. They was moving slow, had to chase a climber. Talking penthouse dreams from the block to the beam. Life a whole movie, I just live in the scene.
Rolling through the city with the top laid back. Speakers get the vibe, know the track gon' slide. Gold chains dancing in the moonlight glow. Wave on freeze, but the grind don't slow. Flex in my arms, yeah. Drip when I glide. Gold on my neck, white queen by my side, yeah. Dreams too big, can't kill my vibe. I'm just living my life, living my life.
So up next, we've got Rachel Wong, an Asian American soulful pop artist known for her heartbeat, lyrics, and catchy melodies. Influenced by the likes of Lauryn Hill, John Mayer, and Sarah Bareilles, Rachel blends emotional depth with mainstream appeal. Her music has earned international airplay and even landed her a feature on Good Morning America. With a couple of projects under her belt, Rachel continues to inspire with songs that speak to love, self-worth, and the journey of finding self. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Ms. Rachel Wong. All right. Rachel, welcome to the show. You know what I'm saying? The Anthony Taylor Show is so happy to have you here. We have also Nicole Aladrian is in the house with us.
Yes, hello everybody.
Rachel Wong is in the house. Rachel, how are you doing today?
Hey. I'm doing awesome. I'm really, really excited to be here and chat with you guys. So I'm grateful.
Excellent.
Aww.
Excellent. So Rachel, can you tell us a little bit about you? Your journey, how it started, where it came from.
Yes.
Let's get busy.
Yeah, like what was your inspiration behind the music?
100%. You know, it's interesting. I think that bio is a little from earlier parts of my career, but it actually tracks for it. But yeah, so I live in Portland, Oregon now. I was actually born in Portland, Oregon in a hospital over here. And, you know, my church was over here. Family lived over here. But I grew up and had my childhood in Vancouver, Washington, which is sort of a small little suburb outside of Oregon. And I started my music career in 2010 after college up in Seattle. And I did a lot of kind of singer-songwriter type things. And so if you look at my catalog, you'll hear differences. You'll hear the John Mayer, Sarah Bareilles influences in the earlier parts of my artistry. But I actually took a bit of a break from 2015 to 2023 from like actively releasing music. And when I came back, you know, just a few years ago, I kind of have leaned in very heavily to like the pop R&B sound and actually pulling from a lot of influences that I had growing up, which is definitely still Lauryn Hill, but like, you know, Usher, Alicia Keys, you know, Destiny's Child, Aaliyah, like just those really soulful R&B sounds, but over and pop melodies over kind of that hip hop beat. And so that's really what I've been kind of in my bag for the last couple of years, and it's done quite well for me. I'm signed to a couple different sync licensing agencies here in Portland. So my songs get pitched a lot for, you know, like Netflix shows or different TV ad placements and stuff. So it's been nice to kind of come back, live life a little bit and feel more confident in who I am as an artist and the type of sound that I want to have. But yeah, I don't know if that answered your background question.
Yeah, you know what? That is interesting because it's a lot of the artists that you named a phenomenal artist and to take a piece of them as influence and gather little bits and pieces of them, you really built a really strong platform or something to stand on top of.
Yeah.
So that was that's interesting. And I've heard your voice, and it's an amazing voice.
Thank you.
So what was some of your earliest memories of music and to make you want to get into music yourself, I should say?
Yeah, I mean, I jokingly say this, so you can take it with a grain of salt, but I brought it up that, you know, I grew up in the church. I'm not religious anymore, but I grew up playing music in the church. And I will say, in terms of like getting yourself ready for like stage presence, I will say leading worship every week, it's you're performing for Jesus. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I was probably 12 when I started leading worship with my siblings at the church that we grew up in. And I didn't stop really. Even when I stopped going to church, I would come home and I would still play music with my siblings like in my early 20s. And so that was definitely some of my earliest memories of music was like, I was in piano lessons when I was 3. I learned how to play drums a little bit in band for a couple of years and then just kind of taught myself how to play a drum kit and would do it at church. And then I taught myself how to play guitar. And I wrote my first song, terrible, but the first song I ever wrote was like in middle school. It was like a 5-song verse describing a relationship with a boyfriend that dumped me.
In middle school,
that,
yeah.
That hook of that song, I actually like revived, remixed for an album that I released in 2013.
Yeah.
But the earliest memories for me were kind of playing with my family in church, essentially.
Nice.
It was the most common way to like quote unquote jam with like my siblings, you know?
Let's talk about that hook that you, so the pain was still there, right? The emotion was still there attached to that hook. So you brought it into the current 2013 period, right? What was the hook? How did it go? Do you remember the word for word?
So I'm going to sing it and you're going to be like, that's not emotional. It was more that it was catchy. So, I mean, when I talk about some of those influences in the 2000s, like I think earlier in my career, when I would do a show like this or go on TV or do an interview, sometimes I felt like if I said Destiny's Child, Spice Girls, Aaliyah, like it wasn't as sophisticated as if I said Lauryn Hill or Prince or, you know, Whitney, you know, like because I didn't feel like I was educated enough in their artistry or was grown enough as an artist to really be like, yeah, these are my influences. And also the truth is, the 2000s kind of 90s pop R&B sound was something that I really, really loved. And now that I'm a, like older millennial, like that is the type of music I want to make and is what is hitting still all these years later. So I'll sing you the hook. It's not good. But it was heartbreak. He was just a silly boy for goodness sake. And so I brought it back just because my life were like, that song is a hit. And so I, instead of writing a 5-verse song, I did, you know, a 2.5 to 3 minute song.
Wow.
To write look at that. Appropriate amount of verses, melodies.
Look at that. The younger Rachel being fulfilled by the older Rachel, huh?
She's bringing it in. Friends, my first boyfriend who dumped me.
Yeah. So you know what? Hang on a sec. Let me give him something because that's for him.
I have no idea where he is in his life now, but funny because even like high school childhood friends will still remember that song even if I've evolved from it. And so yeah, I mean, I think it's a good example of still being able to honor some of those like earlier rockier parts of how you start as like a young artist, quote unquote, and being able to grow from it or evolve from it or take from it what you want, you know.
Absolutely. So can you kind of did a little bit of it just now, but can you walk me through your process? Because I've heard your music. It's really, really interesting and sophisticated. What's your prep like when you take a look at a song from helicopter view? How do you put it together?
Yeah. You know, it's super evolved, right? So like, I think it's maintained in my kind of bio of when I describe myself, but I do feel like my songs are always very like emotionally driven. Like I want to be able to tell the story, set the scene essentially of like, this is sort of what I'm writing about and this is how I hope it it hits, which is why I think earlier I did bring up Sara Bareilles and John Mayer as influences. I don't think sonically that's really how I want my music to sound, but in terms of songwriting and storytelling, I think they're two really great artists, and Lauryn Hill, who do a great job of taking complex human emotions and like making it palpable in like a popular music sound. You know, it's not 8 minute long songs. It's not super complicated, varied, you know, song structure. It's still something that can stay in people's head. It's got that earworm effect, but right. Also it's like that feeling where you feel really seen. And so in terms of my process, like even if it's as simple as, especially with Sync, it's gotten really honed, but like if I know sort of the type of emotional feeling I want to provide, then I work really closely with like my producers and my production and be like, this needs to hit a certain way. And if it's not, then it's not working, you know? And I don't think I had that foresight when I was younger, because I was building songs around like a guitar, like one instrument, a guitar or a piano. And instead of using it as like a demo of the sort of idea and song structure, we would just build around that demo, you know? And now it's more like, how can we add a riser here? How can we like hit the beat in the middle of the song to make it have that emotional moment tie into the lyrics that are being sung as well? So, yeah, I mean, in terms of pen to paper, zero to nothing, I typically come up with a chord progression of how I want to kind of build it out. So if it's in a minor or major key or, you know, whatnot. And then I typically have an idea of what I want to write about. So for example, you know, if I want to write a sassy track about being, you know, confident, then I write around that concept. Or if I want to talk about depression, which is my newest single that I sent to you, Monster, then I know that I'm going to write around that mindset and that emotional kind of state. And then sometimes the lyrics come first, and sometimes the you know, music comes first. Sometimes I'm writing to a beat that gets sent to me, and I write about something completely different from what the producer might have thought at first. So I mean, honestly, it's a little bit varied and all over the place, but I think it also makes me a better songwriter, because I don't feel like I have to have just one process to like be able to build or write a song around something, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. So for those in the audience who don't understand what Sync music licensing is, Ed, can you add a little detail to that, a description?
Yeah.
To that?
So, you know, when you're watching a movie or you're watching a show or even an advertisement, Sync licensing is the process where, you know, different producers for that show or for that brand have reached out to a pitching, you know, agency or a catalog where they house different music to then basically license to use. So if you think about like Super Bowl ads or, you know, like I said, a Netflix show, some of the songs that I've written are very specific to like a Love is Blind situation where you're getting cheated on, or you're in a threesome and you're trying to figure out like, how do I, you know, or the love triangle where you are, you know, stuck in the middle and your heart's torn. So like Sync licensing is basically, honestly, I think the best way for artists to really make money in music, especially independent artists. So shout out Marmoset here in Portland and Farnell Newton for like different A&R people that represent me, but basically taking the music that you have and presenting it in opportunities that will get you much more money for it than like streaming per se. So I don't know if I gave the right.
No, I mean, you know, I understand it. I think that people who are listening, they got a better idea now. And, you know, someone in the music artist industry, would have heard of it already. They may not have a complete definition of it, but they can go, thanks to Rachel, they can go look further and do their own investigating on how to do that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. But yeah, and I do think for me personally, it has really helped me as an artist too, to collaborate at 10x kind of quantity. You know, I'm working with different producers across like the coast, you know, and doing collaborations with different artists. So, and I will say also, it's kind of the first time in my career too, where for these Sync licensing kind of opportunities, brands or TV shows, music supervisors for those shows, they will basically write a brief. So like a job description, right? Of like, hey, we're looking for 10 songs for, you know, Bel Air or Selling Sunset that fit this vibe, you know, talk about these kind of song themes, and needs to be within like a 2.5 to 3.5 minute kind of frame. And so it's the first time in my career where I've kind of, from a almost like work perspective, been given a little bit more of a structure brief and be able to write it and execute it well. So I do think it is, even if people are just curious about it, it's a great way to start, you know, exercising that muscle a little bit more in a different capacity. And me personally too, I think there is a stigma for artists that like, if you go the sync route, you like have to write jingles. And I don't think it's that at all. Like I'm still who I am as an artist, and I still write the music that I really like, and I pitch it to my different, you know, A&R reps at these different agencies that I'm signed to. And then, you know, if it fits for the needs that they have or the opportunities that they have, then it works. I still retain all of my songwriting rights and publishing rights. We just split whatever we get from that opportunity, which oftentimes can be thousands of dollars. You know?
Wow, hey, there you go. Give it to me. You know what I'm saying?
Right? You're just saying.
So let me ask you this. So does cultural background or the communities you've been a part of shape your message and identity as an artist?
Yeah. Well, so I, like you said, I'm Chinese American. I'm also queer, and I'm a woman. So, you know, if you look at the influences of people that I pull from the 2000s, I don't think there's any Asian person other than Bruno Mars that is really popularized in that style of music.
Right.
And I think similarly too, there aren't a lot of queer people in the mainstream. I think for me, Kehlani is a really big influence, you know, from a branding perspective and also from a musical perspective of like really being a strong woman who also is owning her queer identity. And so, yeah, for me, I feel like stepping into this space is almost like just a goal of mine of like being representation for people that truly don't have it. Mm-hmm. I didn't have it, you know? And so, in terms of how I pull in my Chinese identity, I think showing up in the spaces as the artist that I want to be is the cultural kind of message, I guess, that I'm sending is like, you don't have to be a traditional doctor, engineer, lawyer, person in tech, you know, like you can live your creative passions and dreams and make it a career if you really want to. And then obviously like being queer, I didn't come out until later in my life. And so, you know, I still deal with my own internalized homophobia and like kind of embracing my identity, but mm-hmm. part of my comeback here in 2015, cause earlier or 2023 and beyond, earlier in my career, I would use, you know, he, him kind of pronouns in my songs and love songs. I don't anymore. I do she, her, or you kind of a thing. I still identify as bisexual, but there is sort of a purposeful choice in like using different pronouns to know that like I'm gay, and people who are listening to my music, you know, can relate to that too if they are also, you know, in the LGBTQ community.
Right, I get it. So it's excellent that you are representing and being you. I mean, we're at a core, we're all human. We're all going to enjoy the music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We all can relate to it, no matter where we find ourselves at. This mm-hmm. right here, Rachel, is one of your songs. And we're going to get to Monster in a few minutes. I want to get the audience just a little teaser of this next song here. And I'd like to do like we used to do an old school radio. I'm an old school radio guy. Check this out.
Okay.
Thank you for tuning in to the Anthony Taylor Show. Hope all you guys are having a good one today. I'm sitting here with singer Rachel Wong. This is her. My goodness, this is a good one here. This is her song, Simple Love. Check it out.
Nobody never made me feel this way, but your body makes me wanna stay. You know just what to say and do. Hello.
Hey, I like that right there. Good work. That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
90s. That's a 90s.
Hey, you
vibe.
Know what? Hey, look, you know what? That was a favorite vibe of music for me right there. And that right there sounded really dope. What was the inspiration of that particular song? I mean, you said 90s, but tell me about it.
I mean, that was probably, I did some other R&B songs with that producer, but this was the one where I was like, no, I want to make a song like Tamia. Like, that was the inspiration kind of production wise. Yeah, I mean, I just kind of, I wanted to write about, I've been with my wife now for over 10 years. So like, I wanted to write a very simple song that had complex kind of emotions, right? So like, I wanted to write about how easy it is to be in a relationship with somebody that you love. And like, there's no, there's not a lot of complexities behind like, or not complexities, but word I'm trying to use here.
It's not that difficult to love somebody for 10 years.
It's not that deep.
Right.
No, I mean, it's easy to love the person that you feel like you're meant to be with, you know, and
gotcha.
Basically writing around that to be like, I mean, it is quite literally the song is simple love, but yeah, it's like, it's simple. It's not, it's a lot of, thought that has to go into it because it's so easy to like love and be loved by the person that you feel like you're supposed to be with. So,
man, you know what? Hang on. That needs a round of applause. Where's my round of applause button? Somebody hit the round of applause button for me. There it goes. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And on top of that, 10 strong years. Hey, you know what? Some people would say, how do you do it? But it just, you know, it just, the years go by if you're loving somebody. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, that's 10 years strong right there. So what role do you think your music plays on today's audience?
Ooh, I miss when people sing in their songs, you know? And so I, not that people aren't singing, you know, but I, you know, on my socials, because Rachel Wong is such a common name, a lot of my handle is Ray Can't Sing. And so I want to be that type of artist where people kind of stop and listen, because you can feel the delivery, the emotion, the authenticity of a performance that comes from really like belting it out. Like, you know, growing up in church, like I grew up in like a Christian Chinese church, so like there wasn't a lot of sauce for the songs that I was singing, but one of the songs that my mom used to love having me perform or, you know, sing at church was My Redeemer Lives by Nicole C. Mullen, which is like, it's such a soulful you know, song. And so I, especially as much as I'm not, you know, religious anymore, like growing up in the church, I do feel like there was something really special about being able to feel really deeply from whatever kind of emotional song you were singing and feeling that energy kind of reflected back at you from the audience. And so, you know, what I hope to do in live shows, and then also even just from people hearing my song, is that they can feel my music, you know, they can feel that it's an honest kind of delivery of song. It's not 50 million takes, you know, to perfect a specific type of, you know, produced studio sound, but to be able to like feel seen and to feel like I'm giving an honest delivery. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it does. It does. Definitely. Definitely. You know, I mean, the thing is just like all these things you're saying, I'm hearing them and each of us can relate to some part of it. You know what I mean? And it's all about relation, you know, life is all about, to me, about relation, you know what I mean? So me being able to relate to things that you say, like me, you know, I'm not a, how do I say, super religious person, but I attended Catholic school all the way to my senior year in high school. And I remember in the younger years, we would be every day in church, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, so it kind of, I've retained some of the thought processes, but some of them I kind of, you know, actually just live my life, You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's hard to explain, but
I hear you. It's hard. I feel like it's hard if you don't know, especially in the particular instance of like you are heavily religious and then you're not religious anymore. There's just a different experience to how you live through life. But in general, what I want listeners to feel is that emotional intention that I put behind any song, even if it's a dumb song about like I'm winning, or you know, I want the connection, the catharsis, and the like reflection of, hey, I felt that too, or you know, I can relate to this in my life and in my journey, you know. And that's all I really hope for as an artist and putting my music out there.
Man, tell me about it. So we've come to the part of the show where it's called the Rachel Wong Jeopardy Edition. And what I'm going to do, actually, it's not going to be about you. So you're off the hook. I'm okay. going to say a couple of lines from a couple of songs. And I want to know if Rachel Wong can tell me who said it. All right. So I'm going to even give you, it's multiple choice. Okay. I'm going to give you some multiple choices. All right. So we're going to go with number one. Okay. T-bone, steak, cheese, eggs, and Welch's grape. Was it, where's my music? Was it Tupac, Big Pun, The Notorious Big, or Jay-Z?
Notorious
B.I.G. Is that your final answer?
Yes.
All right. Congratulations. You are correct. All right. We got another one coming up.
Yay. Let's go.
All right. Who said your body is a wonderland? A, Jason Mraz. B, Ed Sheeran. C, John Mayer. Or D, Gavin McGraw?
John Mayer.
That was too quick. All right, I gotta give you some tough ones.
I did say he was an inspiration. So
okay, I'm gonna give you a tough one then. Hand me that sheet over there. I gotta have them hand me the tough one sheet. All right, let me see here.
You're like, I need to make you sweat.
All right, I'm every woman. It's all in me. Mariah Carey, B. Chaka Khan, C. Whitney Houston, D. Alicia Keys.
Man, this is my jam. I love Whitney.
Okay. Did you say Whitney? Is that your answer?
Chaka Khan?
It's both, actually, but you're right. The answer is Chaka Khan, since she was the original singer, but that was a trick question, and you successfully navigated it because any of those would have worked. You know what I mean? You might win some, but you lost one. A, Lauryn Hill. B, Missy Elliott. C, Nicki Minaj. Or D, Erykah Badu. What we got?
Oh,
we're going to need the music on this
one. Lauryn Hill.
Man, before my music even started, I'm pressing the music button. You got it. All right, ladies and gentlemen. It's obvious that you know your stuff. Yes, definitely. Definitely. I tried to catch you up and... you successfully navigated Rachel Wong Jeopardy, everybody. Let's really quickly get into the song, the new release, Monster. I'm going to play it, but before we play it, you want to tell us about how Monster came to fruition. I don't know how to say that word. Yeah. Let me come up with a new word. How it came to existence. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's such a blessing to have things kind of work out how they work out. But I was at a networking event for Music Sync Licensing, and I met this producer there. We met at like the end of January, and we have a 3-track EP already in the catalog to be pitched for different songs. But Monster was actually one of the songs that we wrote together. So without getting too political, obviously January was a rough time for certain people.
And, absolutely.
Especially people of color. And so both of us were just feeling kind of like depressed am a little drained. And so he sent me, honestly, a working beat. It wasn't fully fleshed out. And I decided, I was like, hey, I kind of feel like writing about like depression and intrusive thoughts. And he's like, yeah, sure, let's go. Like, this is a perfect, you know, time to write something like that. And so what's really cool is, like, you know, this song is actively being pitched to like different TV shows and stuff right now. Which is so awesome because it's a song that is really, really personal to me. So I am somebody who struggled with depression most of my life and have gotten to places where I've, you know, made plans to like end it all. And that's just like the heaviness and the weight of the type of depression that I live with every single day. And so I kind of wrote this song. It's not necessarily, it's not negative, but it's not like the what you would think of as positive either when you of, oh, an uplifting song about depression, but it's a deeply personal song about kind of describing the process and the existence of living with depression and fighting through some of the darker parts of your mind, but also that you have the strength to overcome it. So it explores sort of that vulnerability and survival in the same kind of breath. And for me, I wrote it to just describe it, you know, as how I kind of go through depression and living through that, but ultimately wanted to hopefully touch people out there who are struggling and feel like they're not as alone as they think they are, and that they feel seen and that nothing is wrong with them for having having those moments and having those thoughts and not having to like make people less comfortable by talking about it. Like, I wanted to have a song that really explored the like the truths and the authenticity of living with something this hard, but also, you know, there's lyrics and you'll hear it too, but the storytelling of like, hey, you can make sure that that monster doesn't kind of take over and you can keep going. And both things can be true. So, yeah.
Well, there it is. Let's go ahead and check out a little bit of Monster.
Late night, you whispers in my head. In the shadows you're creeping, pull me back to bed. Try to fight it, but my will, it's just not strong enough. You do this time and time again, but I just call it love. Every time I run and hide, you find me. Feel your clawing after every heartbeat. You've been waiting for your chance. Seduce me to let me down. I'm hanging by a thread. You get off on planting doubts, but I'm still holding on. Tried to drown me in the dark, but I'll just prove you wrong. Every time I run and hide, you find me. Feel your clawing after every heartbeat. I've been questioning what's real. I give anything to feel. There's a monster living in my mind. I'm going under, fighting for the light. You got your hands around my neck so tight. I can't let you take control, no, not tonight.
Welcome back to the Anthony Taylor Show. I am in the house with Miss Rachel Wong. You just enjoyed the song Monster. Rachel, tell them where they can find your music.
You can find me, Rachel Wong, R-A-C-H-E-L Wong, on all streaming platforms, wherever you listen to your music. And then you can find me on socials at R-A-E Can Sing, Ray Can Sing. So I just want to say thank you so, so, so much for having me out here. Shout out Nick Burnick. He's the producer on Monster. Shout out Parnell Newton and Marmoset. They're my pitching team for sync licensing. And shout out you, Aunt Taylor, for having me on the show.
Thank you. Thank you. You know what? It's been, it's funny because I've seen you and I'm like, you know what? I guarantee the conversation with that one is good. And you know what? You don't disappoint.
You
don't disappoint. You like, man, I appreciate you coming on the show today. And
I appreciate you.
I'm going to be watching out for you and keeping a lookout.
It's just the beginning.
It is. It is. And you know, look where you're at already. Look at the waves you're making. Your wife is proud of you. Your kids are proud of you. We're all proud of you. We're rooting for you. So do your thing, Rachel.
Well, I appreciate it so much. But yeah, thank you. Thank you again. And yeah, I'll look out for the link or whatever when it's on.
All right. Perfect. I will. I'll make sure you get updated.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
You guys make sure you check out the Nicole Adrian Show. It comes on every single Friday.
Hey, yeah, y'all go check it out.
Yeah, yeah.
We have a lot of fun. We talk about real, real stuff, very relatable things. And yeah, check it out.
So going over on a comical side of things, people have rules. When you spend the night at their house, I want you to check out this dude right here.
Rules when spending the night with me. You can't come in my room with street clothes on. Okay. Take that shit off. Get in the shower. If you got alarms on your phone and you getting up before me, don't let your alarm keep going off. When it go off, snooze it and get your ass up. Don't tell me you can't sleep with the TV on. Go home. If you sleep wild and shit, like, just keep your feet over here, your head over there, it's time for you to go home. If you tell me you can't sleep without socks on in the bed, you can't sleep over here. If you came from the club and you got makeup on, take that makeup off before you get in my bed, okay? I don't need your face imprint in my pillowcase. If you know your boyfriend or your other is going to be calling and texting you, put your phone on do not disturb or on silent. Because all that ding, 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 it's going to get you ding, 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 ding,
right.
Woke up out of here. If I get up and I'm about to go, don't grab me and ask me where I'm going. This miles. If you came over with some food, no, you can't eat in my room. Eat in the front. If you smoke weed, smoke before you get over here. I don't like the way that smell. I got plug-ins and incense and over here. Keep that weed smell at your Don't tell me you can't sleep without the fan on, okay? Because you can leave. If you got your leg on me and I kind of move my leg and your leg fall down, that means I don't want you touching me. Don't put your leg back on me. Make sure you grab your water before you about to lay down. No, once I'm covered up to my neck, I'm not going to get you no water. And last but not least, if I get up before you, that means you've been here too long. Time to go.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Some of the things are very valid.
People going to be coming over to your house, sir.
Nah, he got too many rules.
It's some rules. It's some things I do understand. Definitely. That's his house. But his rules are over the top to the point where that would turn me off. Like, I'm cool. I don't even want to go to this man's house because it's too strict. You're too strict. Nah, dude. Like, no.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
But hey, I get it. It's, you know, he probably just joking with a lot of stuff. It's just a joke. But some people do have, I get it. Like, you have a right to your space and how you want to run your household. Absolutely. So he's not wrong for that. Right. And it's a lot of good points. Like, yeah, don't wear your makeup because then, you know, it makeup will get all over the pillows and stuff, right? He's trying to keep it clean. He don't want to have to wash it all the time. I get it, right? Maybe people don't prefer having marijuana smoke in their house, right? So certain things I do understand. Yeah, the fact about street clothes. Yeah, it's dirty. You need to take a shower before getting to bed. I do understand on a sanitation level, he has a lot of good points, right? Sounds like he has a really nice living space and a lot of peace. It seems like a comfortable environment that one would want to be in based on what he described, right? But when you're, it's like, okay, if you put your leg on, it's now you're going over the top, because it's like, that woman would not feel comfortable, because it's like now she have to walk on eggshells, right? And nobody want to feel like that. A woman want to feel comfortable.
All right, well, there's two things that I like.
That kind of man would be like, okay, I don't know. I would just be like, okay, sir, we ain't going.
It's two violations for me.
I get it.
When
it's
I sleep,
too many things.
Well, I mean, when I sleep, I don't want to be touched. And also, my blanket, I like to put a blanket. Once it goes over my ear, if you move it off my ear, it's a major violation. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I
need like, to, I'm warm, I'm snuggling. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The cold air.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's almost like when you oh, you know the worst thing. A mosquito get up in your room and you lay in there and all of a sudden, and you're like, okay, so what do? You take your blanket and you put it over your ear, right? Then all of a sudden you hear outside of the blanket. It's like, oh, so then you get too hot. Then you take your blanket down. It's like, oh man, it's an endless cycle, man. That right there disgusts me because I cannot take that part. All the other stuff, you know what my rule is? You can't have no mosquitoes. Mosquito can't come in because that right there.
You know what's crazy? This morning, have a good night. This morning when I, before I was getting off of work, I seen some fun. I'm like, maybe I'm tripping because I got like my little contacts in my eyes and my eyes are a little blurry from that. I'm like, okay, I thought I seen something. And it was a mosquito. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm trying to figure out, should I try to kill it or just stay away from it? So I just chose option number two, to stay away from it. And it was right on the door. And I was just like, oh my God, just don't bite me. I don't really get bit by those. Like they don't like my blood. Thank God. Cause I rarely get bit by them. Like, I don't even know the last time I was bit by a mosquito. It's been that long. But yeah, I mean, I get it. Everybody have their rules and the do's and don'ts, right? And it's just where it's too many, like where I don't want to feel like I'm walking on eggshells. That's when it's like, okay, turn off, you know?
Exactly. But let me ask you a question. Was that the end of the mosquito story? You just seen a mosquito?
Yeah, I seen it and I just kind of was weary of it. Like I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, just stay over here on the door. Stay on the door, Mr. Ma'am. And I didn't kill it. So, you know, I was like, okay, let me spare its life. And I left and I went home. So I don't know
what happened
after that.
Well, but there you go.
He or she didn't get me.
Nah, not this time. Huh? Next time, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't really bite me. I don't really have. But usually, like, if I see them in the house, I'll just kill it. Like, I'll try to kill it. Yeah. Or open a door. Hopefully it comes out. Because my daughter, like, she freaks out. Like, oh, mom, it's a mosquito or a spider. Like, we had a spider in the bathroom one morning. She called me like, mom, oh, my God, there's a spider. Let me take a picture. Mom, it's going to get me. It's going to start flying. I'm like, no, it's not going to fly, Gianni. We're not in that type of part of the world. Like, I get it. It's probably certain places where you have these exotic creatures or spiders and insects and things like that. But we're in San Francisco. They ain't flying nowhere. Mm-hmm. She was like, oh, my God, mom. And she was freaking out. So I had to come. I came home and I killed it. And it was like a furry little spider. Usually we get like today, long legs, a typical, you know, spiders. But this one was like, I don't know if it just came from outside, but it was a little furry thing. And I was like, okay, Gina, I see why she was freaking out. But she was like, mom, freaked her out. So I killed it because I'm like, she was like, mom, like, absolutely no. not today.
All right. So you spider killer. So let's get into one of Nicole's. That's it. That's it. That is definitely it. Lock her up. Throw away the key.
Exactly. Yes. That's what I'm doing. I got the key right here.
Whoever's in my cell with me will be happy because we'll talk. I'll talk your ear off. We'll have a great time. So whoever's my cellie will have fun.
Oh, God,
you can have a new best friend.
Oh, no. I don't want no best friends now.
You know, a kidnapper, I'm going to ask you.
Go ahead.
Okay, hold on real quick, okay?
Over here drinking some beet juice.
Some beet juice? That's yeah. healthy. Very
it's,
healthy.
For it's you. For tight skin. I want to look like my face got a zipper attached to the back of it. Just zip. Look like I'm smiling all the time. You know what I mean?
All right. You want to ask a kidnapper a question?
Sure. I do have a question for the kidnapper.
Let's go. Run it.
Why do you like to kidnap people, kidnapper?
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. What's this? 21 questions?
No, it's one question.
One question?
Oh. Yes, I would like an answer too.
It started off in New York City. I was a young kidnapper then. And I was hungry for a turkey and cheese sandwich.
Okay.
I saw a seagull snatch it from a lady. He snatched a sandwich. I snatched a seagull. Me and that seagull been friends ever since.
Aww.
And I had me a ham sandwich.
So you made a best friend with the seagull who snatched the sandwich originally and then you snatched him. Okay.
He inspired me. He inspired my whole snatching thing.
So, what an interesting story.
Yeah. See, being a kidnapper isn't about mean things. It's about friendship. It's about stalking. It's about... collecting toenails. Why do you ask?
I've got my answer, so I guess.
Give me that love, give me peace of mind. Or should they call me Richard Eastline? body make me feel excited. Loving you, they put me on a different mindset. Girl, not only you, they make me stick to one girl. Goddamn, hella you do a get goddamn. Picture perfect, no they mind them. Keep it private, fuck on baller. If you need me, baby, I'll be right there.
Yo, I want to give a special shout out to my boy Disco over at WWO. You know what I'm saying? Keep doing your thing, boy. Also, I want to invite you to go over to Spotify and look up an artist by the name of Faithful Tragedy. They got a new release. It's called Universe Is the Night. Go check it out. If you ever felt afraid, like you wouldn't be accepted, like you had to shrink who you are to fit in, hear this. You were never meant to blend in. You have a special place. You matter. You belong just as you are. The world needs your light, your voice, your story. Don't doubt it for a second. You belong. All right, everybody, thank you for joining me this week on the Ant Taylor Show. Thank you to my guests for joining us. We had a great show. It was good to see everybody here again. Hopefully we can all reconvene right here on this station next week.